Welcome to the Jeff Knows Inc. Entrepreneurial Podcast with your host, Jeff Lopes. Jeff has over two decades experience as a serial entrepreneur, building brands like Kimuraware from his home basement to a multi-million dollar global brand that has sold over a quarter million pairs of boxing gloves. Jeff's here to educate, guide, and drive you on the process of bringing your ideas and dreams to reality with the inspiring stories from some of the top business minds.
Welcome to episode number 88 of the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. Super excited to have in today from Western BC, Taraji Mazahari, one of Canada's top 1% realtors. Great conversation, great story, tons of information on realty. Sit back, everyone, and enjoy. We are live on the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. I'm super excited to have on from the West Coast of Canada. You're actually my second Canadian guest I've had on my podcast. Out of almost 100 episodes, I'm your second Canadian guest. Taraji Mazahari. Did I pronounce that right?
Taraji Mazahari. Very close.
Mazahari. Very close. I apologize. So you're a realtor. You have a great story of where you came from, your background. We're going to dive into all those things today. I always start off by letting our audience know what you're currently doing, and then we'll dive into more of a history of your story and your upbringing and all that stuff like that. So what are you currently doing? And give them an understanding of the level of realtor you actually are.
Sure thing. Well, I am a realtor. My mom and myself, we work together. And just recently this year, I founded a new team called Elite Realtors. So for the last about 10 years now, we've been the top 1% in Canada for Coldwell Banker, and super exciting now to be starting a brand new team called the Elite Real Estate Team. And on top of that, we are also the brokerage owners of Coldwell Banker Prestige Realty in Vancouver. Our office is near the waterfront in Pearl Harbor in downtown Vancouver over here. And on top of that, we also own a property management company called Vancouver Rented, which manages over 1,000 rental properties all around Greater Vancouver as well. I work in everything from selling $200,000 condos to $20 million mansions, and I absolutely love what I do.
Okay. We said a couple of things there. So your mom, how long has your mom been a realtor for?
25 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's done a lot of things from the ground up, and she's like a superwoman and definitely my inspiration and what made me kind of transition from my actual background, which is engineering, into the real estate world.
Okay, we're going to get into that, but let's actually get into that. So when you went to school, where'd you go to university?
UBC, University of British Columbia.
Okay, so you took, let's let the audience know what you graduated in and where your career started, and then I want to tie into something.
So I started at UBC in engineering, and I studied mechanical engineering. My specialization was system controls and hydraulics. I also did a minor in energy management as well. So take all of that. I was the president of the Women in Engineering Group. I led conferences for thousands of people. I partnered up with the PVCC, the Pacific Venture Capital and Entrepreneurs Group. And basically with them, I teamed up with them, emceed a bunch of conferences from Fairmont Pac Rim to Shangri-La to Pan Pacific Hotel in front of thousands of people, paired up with them. And we joined the Women in Engineering Group with that group, and also NIBC, which is the National Investment Banking Conference, hosted a bunch of conferences, teamed up the engineers with the business students together to basically do a lot of really cool networking stuff. So from that was my journey throughout university, where, as you can see, even through that journey, I was really excited about the talking to entrepreneurs part, the actually social engaging part. And trust me, I loved engineering so much, but the engineering job role, like the typical 9-to-5, wasn't for me. And I basically found that out once I graduated engineering. I was working at a top firm in downtown Vancouver. And at that time it was called Goldcorp. Now it's called Newmont Canada. And they're the top selling gold mining engineering company in North America. And I was working at their corporate office in downtown Vancouver. I was actually the first female that they had hired out of school in their entire office for an engineer. So I was working there, and honestly, the people there were incredible, Jeff. Like, I absolutely love them, great people, but I was just bored in the sense that I felt that I was stuck. Like I just felt it was a 9 to 5 where, and I was telling you this before, at 3 p.m., I would literally look at the clock and then be like, oh my God, I have 2 more hours here left. Like I'm going crazy. I can't do this. So I would fall asleep at my desk. So just knowing that and knowing myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm not happy. I would talk to a bunch of my friends who would say, look, if you're feeling stuck, do something else. Like that's not good. And you're never going to become as successful as you want to be if you're feeling that way. And I was so scared, scared beyond you can possibly ever imagine. And my mom, she has been in real estate for over 25 years now. And she's the one who actually started our brokerage that we're now running and managing. We have over 80 realtors who are working for our company right now. She's the one who started, and she's my biggest role model of all time because she's a superwoman. And basically I'm like, you know what? And all my summers growing up in high school and everything, I would work in her office and I would see how everything would work. I would go to open houses with her, showings, everything. So it was more like real estate was kind of in my blood. Also, my dad was a developer, so he would build properties from townhomes to houses. So I kind of had it in my blood, but my family, stereotypical Persian family, which is I am Persian, they were saying, no, go into engineering, 6-year engineering. Like, what do you mean you want to come into real estate? You got a degree in it, whatever. And I don't know if you know, I'm sure you do, but in Canada, you get an iron ring when you're an engineer and you graduate. So did all that. They're like, no, what are you talking about? You want to come into real estate? And my mom was super against it at the beginning. She said, what do
seriously,
you
huh?
So against it. She's like,
I would think the pure opposite.
No. And most people would think that, but yeah. She was completely against it. And so was my dad saying, no, don't do this. Stick to engineering. Like if you don't like this job, find another one. And I'm like, you know what? It's not about the job. Cause I loved learning. I love learning and I love growing. Yeah. And I was doing that. I felt stuck. I felt bored. It wasn't what I wanted to do. And I was terrified because my family was saying, don't go into real estate. And I had some friends saying, are you sure?
How old were you? How old were you at this point?
I was 22 at this
point. You're still a baby.
Yeah, still a baby.
Do you mind me asking how old you are now? How many years ago? You're 27?
27.
So it's only been 5 years since that.
Yeah, it's only been 5 years since that. And honestly, I can tell you that when you want something, if you go for it, you can get it. Because so many
100%.
People, when I started off, I'll tell you very full honestly. Yeah. When I started off, a lot of people would look at me and they'd be like, oh, like she's just trying to do this because she couldn't do engineering. I'm like, how could I not do engineering? I was working for a top company in downtown Vancouver, first off. Yeah. But I wouldn't say that. I would say that in my own head. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I got the best job that I could. I was in the top position in center of downtown Vancouver. I didn't like it. People would say I would feel it like, oh, she's just doing real estate because she doesn't know what else to do. She's not going to make it. Like she's just whatever. Like there's no way she's going to be able to do it. And when I felt that people would think that about me, the first year was the biggest struggle because I was so scared to even start an Instagram page for myself that was just for my work. I was terrified because I thought, oh, like people are going to know that I'm not an engineer anymore. Like people are going to think I'm just a realtor and I'm just starting off and I'm a failure. All this stuff was literally running through my head. I was terrified beyond belief. And after a year, I'm like, you know what? If people want to say that I'm just a realtor who's not going to make it, they're probably right at this point because I was starting off as an assistant for my mom. She said, you want to come into real estate? You're going to start from the bottom as an assistant. So I was literally doing 9 to 5 again, but instead of doing interesting engineering work, I was literally like writing contracts and like copying and bringing coffees and stuff. And so I'm like, you know what? You didn't study engineering to come and become a filing assistant for your mom. Like it was just my worst nightmare. So I'm like, you know what? The only person who can change your future is yourself. So I just looked at myself in the mirror one day and I'm like, you know what? It's been a year. I have to come out of my comfort zone. I've come out of my bubble and go full out, go big. So what I did, I changed my Instagram page completely, deleted a bunch of my photos on there, made it a complete professional page. And I'm like, I did so much research. How can I do this? You know what? People are doing it old school that way. I don't have the old school connections. I'm young. What can I do to be different? Social media helped me escalate my career exponentially. And people would tell me, oh, she just cares about Instagram, like back 4 years ago when Instagram wasn't a thing. And you know what? I'm like, good that other people think that because now look at where I am. I get business from my Instagram left, right, and center. During COVID, I got a project in West Vancouver, which was one of the biggest projects to market. We did basically all of the marketing off my Instagram page alone, and we sold 50% of the tower, of this high-rise tower, literally during COVID in 1 month. power of social media, power of people telling you, you know what, you can't. Think of how a way to be like, no, you know what, I can and I'm going to. And in the last 5 years now, I've been growing my business. And now just this year, I've launched a new team, which I'm super excited about that we're growing. And we're just
you have so much energy. I'm ready to jump through the screen and high five you.
And imagine working with a bunch of engineers who stereotypically engineers are more calm and a little bit nerdy. So it was just really fun working with them.
I'm gonna jump in a couple of things there because I mean, I've never had a podcast like this. I get to sit back and just listen to you. This is awesome. Your energy is awesome. I love it. A few things that you said there, I think it's important for the audience to understand, and it's something I'm very passionate about as a parent, is the fear thing. Let's talk about that for 2 seconds. I think that's a great lesson for people to understand. A lot of people never achieve what they are able or capable of achieving because of that word fear. And it took you a little time to figure it out and say, screw it, I'm going to do it. But there's a lot of people who will never figure that out.
Yeah.
And fear is something I've studied and I strongly believe in coming from, because my son of his situation, I from day one, and people that know my son's story, I didn't want him to have any type of fear.
100%.
Fear of going to school. I'll give you an example. When he was wearing AFOs, he was wearing braces, his first day of school wearing braces, he was so cautious. He wore braces, he was undersized, he had glasses, and he wanted to wear pants to cover his braces. And my wife's like, yeah, let him wear pants. And I said, it was summer. It was a warm day. And I said, listen, you're putting on a pair of shorts, owning who you are. And if you don't feel comfortable or aren't comfortable enough wearing those braces and owning who you are, you're going to work your ass off to get out of those braces. So I've always been a thing. And I think the fear comes from a lot of parents teach fear to children. You always hear this where if you actually think as a child, don't touch the stove, you're going to burn your hand. Don't run down the stairs. These are things subconsciously are put into children's minds. And the parents don't support it enough. Not saying they're bad parents, but they don't push them out of their comfort zone.
Yep.
Like I do with my kids is once a month, we find something that they're scared of, whether it's public speaking or nothing. And as a family, we do it all together. So I try to put them out of their comfort zone and then award them for getting out of their comfort zone. So that's something we constantly do.
That's a really good technique. I'm going to use that in the future whenever I have kids too.
Yeah, it's just a great way to break that fear. So when they're ever sitting in a situation like yourself, it's not like, oh, I can't do it. Like I understand the feeling of breaking that fear, how good the feeling is going to be. And then I'll be able to attack it head on. And you were able to do it. There's a lot of people that are so panicky of exactly what you said. Like they're so worried what their friends are going to say, their peers are going to say. If you're worried about what your peers are going to F and say to you, then be honest, then they're not your real true friends. And that's that mindset you have to have. People that are going to be truly supportive of what we're going to do are the ones I want to keep with me.
100%. Exactly.
And I appreciate that you got out of that. So I'm going to dive into two things. I appreciate your mom for putting you back to the working level because that just builds character and it makes you understand not only the character part. I had a dentist on here a couple weeks ago, Dr. Bill Dorfman. If you search him, he was the doctor on the ABC show for the dentist for Extreme Makeover. He was on the show The Doctors. This guy's got like a million something followers, and we've built a little friendship. And we were talking the other day on the podcast. And he says something to me. He said when he got to Hollywood and he opened his own practice, right before he opened his own practice, he knew how to be a great dentist. He had connections, but he said he wanted to figure out how to do it properly. So what he did was he found the top four dentists in Hollywood and he worked for free for all of them for 3 months each.
Amazing.
And what he did is when he worked there, he didn't study the dentist. He studied how he collected money, how the reception worked. He studied every part of the successful business. Amazing. And learned it. And then he took it from three or four different dentists and then adapted into his own system. By your mom doing that, she's not molding you. She's giving you all the tools to mold yourself. So I love that you're able to do that. And obviously, I truly believe something like that sped up your career drastically, right?
100%, definitely. Made me start from the bottom, but honestly, it also gave me that push I needed to be like, okay, if you don't want to be stuck over here now, what are you going to do to take it to the next level?
Exactly.
For a realtor, basically what you're doing is you have to put yourself out there, talk to people, find a good deal for your clients and negotiate for your clients, see what is in their best interest, see things that they don't see. Because usually a lot of times clients think they know exactly what they want, but a lot of times, unless they're, let's say, in development, they really don't. And it's my job to be able to help them and guide them to make the best decision. And because my background is engineering, for me, the financial section is the biggest thing. So being able to negotiate for them, being able to, for me, it's black and white with the numbers. So I want to be able to get them the best deal because I want to have a lifelong relationship with my clients. So I want to be able to buy them, let's say, for example, their first property. And afterwards, once they have some more money saved up, maybe buy them a pre-sale or an investment property. After that, eventually, I want to have a lifelong relationship where I can buy for their kids one day. So it's like one after the other, help them. And usually when someone's happy with you, they refer you. And a lot of my business now is honestly referral. Yeah. They're happy with me. They refer me to their brother, their sister, their mom, their aunt, their uncle, their teacher. Yeah. So that's honestly how it works for me now.
Quick question. With all these TV shows, Million Dollar New York or LA and all these shows that I actually watch, I enjoy watching. How has that shaped or altered the view on the real estate industry? And almost, it's almost put it as, to me, it's brought it to a level of almost, if you could build, like you've done, your Instagram page and all that, it builds you into almost a form of celebrity in a way.
Yep.
How has that all worked? And are you trying to get your own show in BC?
That would be really cool. I have been approached, to be honest with you, by different producers down in LA. This was right before COVID.
Yeah.
And now our borders are closed over here to Americans. Yeah. So none of them can come over here, basically. But that was never my plan or intention. And if it does happen, that could be cool if something starts. But never my plan, never my intention. But I can see with all these shows coming out right now that real estate is huge and it's hot and people love it because the thing is on TV, it looks super easy. It's not easy. There are 14,000 realtors in BC, to give you an example, where 2,000 of them left the business last year because they couldn't make it. So it's really difficult and there's a lot of competition. So you have to find a way to make yourself stand out. Why should someone choose to work with me versus 14,000 other realtors who are amazing as well, you know, like why? So you have to make yourself stand out. You have to be personable. You have to be honest. You have to be on top of your game. You have to make sure that my phone is over here. I have my phone on me 24/7. Last night I had a girlfriend over and we were just catching up. And literally I told her, I'm so sorry. I have to negotiate this offer. I apologized to her, I think 10 times because I had to literally step out of the room, negotiate two different deals that I was working on. And honestly, you need to do that. My business
100%.
So no choice there. I think what you see on TV is great. It's not all reality, just like those doctor shows and lawyer shows. I talk to actual doctors and lawyers. They're like, a lot of it's real, but most of it isn't. It's just a lot of drama that's happening.
Yeah, that's what a reality show is, right?
The reality TV.
Yeah.
But honestly, it has escalated real estate and what realtors do a lot, put us on the map a lot. And I think now it's our job in this new 2021 year to make ourselves stand out how we think that we should. And I'm trying to do that. I've been doing my best to do that the last few years now. So
how is the market in BC since COVID?
So hot. Oh my gosh.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. I know the real estate here is picked up because we talked about it. I'm pretty involved in it, but
you mentioned
a lot of people are moving to the suburbs. The suburbs are just exploding right now. Nobody wants to live in the city anymore, it seems like. And it's, I don't know if it's a trend.
A lot of people used to travel a lot. Now it's work from home, or people are understanding the value of having a bigger space. So instead of renting or being okay with their small condo, they're like, let me upgrade. If they can, they're like, let me upgrade because now's the time I have to be at home all the time. And the Bank of Canada, basically, they lowered all the interest rates. So that made everyone jump on getting their pre-approval. And now they're all buying left, right, and center. In Vancouver, at least, we're getting multiple offers like crazy.
It's happening here too.
Offers on the property. Yeah. Like, it's insane what's happening.
But how's downtown? Like, so when you're looking at the condo market and all that, has that slowed down or that's still aggressive?
So at the beginning of COVID, everything shut down. Basically, everything was slow. So we were barely seeing any inventory moving. And that's when a lot of people were getting quote unquote good deals. Right now, things have shifted. So if there's a lot of, I would say in downtown Vancouver, there's a lot of options that have come out. Anything that's good will go in one day. The things that are okay, they'll stay. And usually it'll stay because it's overpriced, so they have to do a price adjustment on it. But now that everyone has a pre-approval, they're all looking for the same thing. For example, if you're looking for a one-bedroom condo with, you want some kind of a view, a balcony, and an open concept space, let's say, if anything comes, it'll go in 1 second because there's like 100 people looking for that one thing. So when it comes, it's on everyone's radar. But the things that are okay, they are staying. They're not really moving. And people are waiting. They're saying those ones will come down in price.
As a realtor, do you invest yourself quite a bit, or is it more just...
So I've purchased 2 pre-sales, for example, myself. Yeah.
Pre-sale condos?
Pre-sale condos. Yes, correct. Yeah. So over here, at least, pre-sales are really, really big. And it's all about being able to get in first and getting that best deal. What happens with pre-sales is that it's a project that's going to be built in 2 to 4 years time. And
so it's an investment.
Exactly. So it's an investment. You're paying, for example, just a down payment. So right now, let's say, for example, I want to buy a $500,000 condo. Usually the developer will want 10% today when you write your contract, so $50,000, and then another 5% in 6 months to a year, so another $25,000. No other payments, no mortgage, nothing until 3 years when the project's complete. So that's giving me 3 years time, if I need that time, to save up to be able to have that extra down payment for getting financing for my mortgage. Or let's say I have the money and that's not my concern. That's giving me 3 years time for the market to go up. So my investment goes up in value by that much. And all I've put down is 15% spread out during the span of a year. So it makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. And what happens with developers is that usually if you're getting in with a realtor who can get you in first, they have first pricing. After they sell a target amount, they increase all the pricing. So for the people who buy in first, you're automatically seeing a profit once they do that price increase.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
exactly. So it makes a lot of sense. And honestly, I always tell everyone, even if it's not me, work with a realtor who gets you in first and has a connection with the developer that they can get you incentives. So you can get credit incentives, cashback incentives, extra storage, extra parking, additional bonuses. So a lot of that stuff. And that's a lot of my business. I do a lot of pre-sales, work with a lot of developers over here, getting amazing deals for clients.
Are there, I mean, this might be a naive because I've never played around with condos, but is there a lockdown when you do close that you can't sell? Like, is there in a contract you can't sell for 1 year, or you can't rent for 1 year? Has that happened there as well?
So is this before it's complete, or is this just
when the door, the key is given and you're ready to move in? Is there something that states that there's a 1 year lock, you can't resell or you can't rent for a year? Nope. Nothing like that, huh?
None of that. So you can buy, if there's a rental restriction that they have in the bylaws, then you won't be able to rent it, let's say. But all new towers nowadays, they all allow rentals. And that's because the government wants more rental properties. They want people to be able to actually come afford to live in Vancouver, and they can't. So they want more options for rentals so they can actually move here.
What about the Airbnb market for that? Is that still open there? How does that all work there?
No, they basically... they're trying to restrict that as much as possible. There are buildings that still do Airbnb, but basically they're saying no short-term rentals allowed, no Airbnbs allowed.
No STAs, yeah.
Yeah, people do it. Even in buildings with concierges that are really great buildings, they do it, but they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
It does happen. We do see it. But for example, if you get caught, you'll get fined. So I would, if you do want to do Airbnb, do it in a building, I would say that allows it. Those are usually buildings that are older.
Older, yeah.
Yeah.
So how's your interest with the commercial real estate?
I do commercial real estate as well, just not as much. We have people on our team who are amazing at it. So we do list commercial properties in our brokerage as well. There are great realtors who do a lot of it. I have done a bunch of deals myself too, but not in comparison as much to residential.
Okay. Cause we talked about, I have some interest in, and my mindset, and tell me if this makes any sense to you, because obviously this is your expertise. Mm-hmm. With all small businesses closing, when this whole world comes back to normal, hopefully 6 months, a year, year and a half, it's going to be obviously a rewind. People are going to go back to living life, and people are going to go back full force. If anything, they're going to be opening up more businesses because a lot of people are going to want to be more independent. But I do believe that a lot of people are not going to take the chance of buying? Because one, financially, they don't have the money. Second, there might not be as many opportunities. Do you believe this is a good time now to buy commercial? Because there will be a point when this all flips over, that you're going to have so many more renters wanting to have a location to run their business?
100%. I was telling all of my clients, because all the market projections were forecasted to go up. So when there was that dip that happened March, April, May of last year, I was telling everyone left, right, and center, start buying now. Trust me. And a lot of people were scared. They were saying, no, the market's just going to go down lower. It's going to crash. It's going to crash. Anyone who bought last year, congratulations to you, because literally you have made so much money already this year. Yeah. January 2021 stats in Vancouver have come out for houses, 68% increase in price since January of 2020. For condos, 42% increase. I don't have the stats for commercial, but I mean, it's same kind of thing. I've talked to my commercial realtor friends who do it nonstop every single day. Yeah. Huge increase in pricing. Like, it's insane. People are now fighting multiple offers for commercial properties as well.
Here. Wish you never heard that before.
Never. It's insane what is happening. And I'm recommending to everyone, I'm telling you, buy now, because it's only going to keep going up higher. We're going to be seeing, and the Bank of Canada came out and they said that they are planning on keeping interest rates the same minimum until the end of 2023. So if we're
which is massive for investments. Massive.
So that means that you're going to have these incredibly, insanely low interest rates, that because they want people who lost their jobs or whatever to still be able to afford to buy and everything. So they're trying to regulate the market. It's just making the market go extremely up high, hot. So I recommend buy now and upgrade yourself. So if you can, if let's say if you have a condo and you have a little bit saved, sell that condo, upgrade yourself into a townhome or a house or whatever, or like a two-bedroom condo if it's a one-bedroom. Do an upgrade right now.
That's awesome. So all three areas, condos, residential, these are the prices are fluctuating. If somebody's looking at it as an investment, where would you recommend to invest? Or even commercial, when I'm talking about commercial, I'm talking about storefront, because that's another option too, because you could look for zoning for medical, you could look for zoning for, there's certain things that are always going to generate money, right? Where would you recommend to look in Canada? Where would you recommend to invest your money or to look for options for deals?
Yeah, so for all of Canada, I can't fully quote on that, because I know Toronto, I know, has a great real estate market going on as well. Yeah. I have great friends out there who, if someone is looking to buy out there, I'm happy to introduce you to them. They're amazing at what they do out there. Yeah. For Vancouver, there's a lot of great deals in a lot of different places. So I would recommend buying in a place that's up and coming. For example, on the North Shore in North Vancouver, there's Lionsgate Village area right beside Lionsgate Bridge. Why is that great? Because in the next 5 years, they have basically a 5 to 10 year plan where they're building hundreds of townhomes, high rises, a community center, shops, restaurants. They're making like an entire village in that area. So right now there's nothing. In the next 5 years, it's going to be like a whole city just in that area. Now, people are a lot of the time scared of that. We have another area here called Olympic Village and False Creek, where the exact same thing happened. There was nothing there, barren land. There were some homeless people even around there. A lot of developers started coming, building high-rise towers, townhomes, restaurants. Anyone who bought in pre-sale, they almost doubled their money. It's insane. Now there's a whole village there. It's beautiful. People are all fighting to live there. The prices are almost matching downtown Vancouver prices. Same thing with Lionsgate Village. It's so undervalued. Buy in an area like that, that's undervalued. Same thing we're seeing a little bit further out in Coquitlam, for example. In Burnaby, a lot of that has happened. There's so many developments now there, but in Coquitlam, so many underdeveloped areas. Buy there, see the future. A lot of people, because if they can't see it directly in front of them, it scares them. But if you look at the future, it's an amazing investment. It's something you're going to make money on. And honestly, my family, for example, in Coquitlam, it's not, let's say, in Coquitlam, in an area that's the underdeveloped part of Coquitlam, they've bought themselves 3 different properties out there in pre-sale in 2020, because they're like, we see the value of it. And a bunch of our clients have all come. There are huge towers being built there. It's going to be a whole nother city in 3 to 5 years. It's going to look completely different. And that's when people are going to be seeing their money doubling. We did the same thing in Burnaby as well for our clients. Anyone we bought for in this King's Crossing project, we sold 75 units in this one tower. One bedrooms we're selling. We sold them for $330,000. Today, we're selling them for almost $600,000.
That's crazy. So, and this is in a time period of what?
3 to 5 years. All of these projects, 3 to 5 years. So it takes 3 years for them to complete. And then usually you see your maximum profit 1 to 2 years after a project completes. So anyway,
so would you recommend at that point, just obviously at that point, you just hold on for the 2 year period roughly and rent it out?
Yeah. So I mentioned we own a property management company. It's called Vancouver Rented. So something that we offer to all of our clients, whenever you buy any pre-sale with us, as a courtesy and a thank you for purchasing with us, we will rent out your pre-sale for you once it's complete, 1 year free of charge. We'll help you do the deficiency walkthrough. We'll help you do background check, all the work, everything, and rent it out for you free of charge for 1 year and do the management for you. So that's something as a thank you to our clients for working with us in pre-sale. That way too, in 1 year after that tenant's moved out, I'm going to pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, Jeff, we can now sell your condo for you for this price if you want, or we can rent it out for you for another year as well. What do you want to do? And this way you as an owner, you can focus on your business, your podcast, your other real estate investment, whatever else you want, and I'll take care of everything from you from A to Z. So you don't have to worry about it.
You know, you're selling me right now, right?
If you want to buy out here, let me know. I can help you.
I'm going to take your number. I like to talk more about this. I mean, there's obviously BC is a beautiful place. I've been to pretty much every part of Canada. BC is one place I've never been to. So
you missed out on the best part, Jeff. It's amazing.
I know. Have you been to Toronto, I'm assuming?
I have. Yeah, I've been there twice. Once in the winter, once in the summer, but I haven't been there. No, actually, I went there 2 years ago. And I went there in the winter. It was gorgeous. I loved it. Loved the snow. Beautiful city.
I love the snow. That's interesting. We've had a really good, what'd you say?
We get a lot of rain here, but we barely get snow. So when I see snow, I get excited.
Yeah, we've had a good winter. It's like today is, I think it's plus six outside. There's no snow down. It's pretty nice. I mean, more to the north, there's quite a bit of snows, but more in Toronto area still, we're still, I mean, a couple more weeks, hopefully we can hold off in the snow. As much as it's beautiful, you don't want to be cleaning it every day. Yeah, so let's dive. I want to dive. There's a couple of things we started talking we didn't really get into. I want to talk a little bit quickly about you. You said prior that your parents had separated. What age were you when your parents had separated?
9 years old.
Oh, so you're a baby still.
Yeah, I was a baby still. They separated when I was 9 years old. And then my dad moved out and I was living, my brother and I were living with my mom, and my parents stayed friends. So unlike a lot of Persian families, at least that you see, my parents stayed friends. And actually today they're business partners as well. We have a lot of projects they're doing right now. My dad's remarried and they have two half sisters as well, who I love. Christmases, birthdays, everything. We're all together. Persian New Year's, we're all together. So very That's modern awesome. Family style, I would say. We're all together and I love them. I have two younger little sisters who are adorable, beautiful. One of them, she's like a super child. She's incredible. So very close with them, but they did get divorced when I was 9 years old. And my mom, I would say, was definitely my role model growing up just because I lived with her and I would see her on a daily basis way more often. And she's a powerhouse. And I was mentioning this to you before as well.
Yeah.
When she was the age of 31, she started 30, 31, she started her real estate career and she started from the bottom. And imagine she was born and raised in Tehran and Iran. So she came to Vancouver, didn't know anyone, didn't know anything. And she has an accent as well. And at that time, way back then, men kind of controlled the real estate industry. Like it wasn't very common for a woman to be able to become successful. Yeah. And she was fighting against other men, basically putting her down, other people putting her down, saying, oh, she has an accent and she is a woman and she doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't even know the area, all of this. And in her first year in real estate, she made Rookie of the Year and she sold so much. And then from there, she just grew and grew and grew until one day she switched brokerages a couple of times. And at the end, when she was at RE/MAX, she said, I don't like the atmosphere here. I don't like the cutthroat, how no one's a friend and family together here. I don't like that. I want to start my own brokerage, which is when she started Coldwell Banker Prestige Realty. And her mentality was, I want everyone in my brokerage to be like a family together. I want an open door policy. And she designed our entire office herself from scratch. It was literally like plain like nothing over there, just like a plain room. She designed the entire thing with glass walls, so it looked open concept, so everyone can see each other in our offices working, and open door. Everyone can come into each other's rooms all the time whenever they want. And we all help each other out like a family, and we all grow together like a family. And that's
the whole mentality
we have there.
My main office, we're in a studio here, but it's, I'm looking at my office. This is a glass studio, but we're looking at my office, and my main office is a loft setting. So it's a massive loft that overlooks the warehouse. And I sit with my staff. All my staff is just open desks. So we have the music playing out loud. It's kind of like the Google office almost. We got the music playing out loud. That's, we scream orders to the warehouse. Everybody's open. Everybody's equal. And we have that environment, and that allows for so much more productivity. Like, people want to come to work. They want to be here. Exactly. Like, during COVID, guys are like, oh my God, I want to be at work. I want to get to work. Like, people want to be here. So if you build that culture, it's so powerful.
And I post a lot of the times on my Instagram of me working with other realtors, but there are other realtors who are in my office, and literally I say Coldwell family, whatever. And people message me saying, I literally want to switch careers to a realtor because it just looks like so much fun what you guys are doing. And it's because we're literally working until late hours at night. Like, I'm at the office, I haven't eaten dinner. It's 9 p.m. at night. I'm starving. But at the same time, I'm happy to be there because I'm like, I need to get this and this and because I see other people working too. And we've brainstormed ideas off each other. And it's just fun. And a lot of times, for example, for birthdays, we'll all go together for happy hour for someone's birthday, or like, yeah, we'll do this and that. So it makes
it's a culture. It's a culture. You've built a culture, which is so powerful. So, so powerful, because everybody knows they can rely on each other, and everybody wants to do good to see the overall. Exactly. You know what I always say? It's crazy. As I always say this, I was doing a conference the other day. I was teaching I was explaining it. When you're building an office or even building an environment, there's people, and this is, I think, how you guys run it in a way, where it's commodity, it's a group. I understand you keep saying the word family, but it's almost like you guys run a team, a sports team.
It's exactly. That's exactly what it's like. Whatever pre-sale deals, let's say, that we get, we share with other people who are in a brokerage, even if they're not directly, let's say, working with us and our team. We are like a big team together. We are like a global team all together. So
I love that. I love that, because a lot of people will treat an office like a family. And then what happens is, if somebody's not pulling, there's always that competition. There's always that push. I love how it was a team, because if you look at a sport, we're in Canada, hockey. There's four lines. The fourth line players are never going to be as good as the first line players. Everybody knows that. You're going to have your superstars, but the fourth line players is just important, and they all have one goal: to win a cup. And as long as you guys work as a team, you're going to have your strong guys, you're going to have your weaker, you're going to have your middle core. Everybody has a purpose, but you all have one goal as a team. It's so powerful. And I think if people run an office or a business as a team instead of more of just like a family, you're so much more productive, and you all have one end goal, which is so powerful, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So for example, even to go to close a deal myself, I'll tell other agents in my office, I'll come with you, I'll help you to close it. Don't worry. You want to negotiate this thing for your client, I'll come with you, I'll help you do it. I say, give me the phone, I'll do it for you, don't worry. Or you need this, I'll go get it for you. There was one time that I had an open house, and I was in downtown. My open house was in North Vancouver. There was some traffic on the way. I was going to be about, let's say, 30 minutes for me to get there. So I planned it out. My open house started at 2, and it was 1:15. I'm like, perfect. I'm going to leave right now, and I'm going to go to my open house. I come back, and I had a showing downtown. That's why I was there. I go to get into my car to go to my open house. I noticed my car was towed, and they had just put up a brand new road sign, and I didn't notice it because I was rushing to get to my showing. Yeah. My car got towed, and I'm like, oh my God, oh no, what just happened? I literally just called one of my coworkers, and I told him, my car just got towed. I'm not going to make it for my open house. Can you help me out? Can you go and do my open house for me? And he said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. He literally went to the office to grab the keys, went and grabbed it for me, went and did my open house. I managed to make it there, but I was like an hour late by the time I went and got my car and everything. Yeah. But it was so nice that I could just call him, and he's like, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it for you. That's a teammate. That's something 100%. That if you drop the ball, if you can't be there, they'll help you pick it up so you don't drop it. Like, that's what we have all together. And I'm so appreciative. And I do the exact same thing for everyone else too, because life happens and you need someone to help you during times like that.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you two more questions before we get going here. Where do you see yourself 5, 10 years? You're still quite young, 27. But obviously you have a lot of experience behind you. Where do you see yourself 5, 10 years from now? Where would you want to see yourself?
I want to be expanding my team.
Do you look to going across Canada or just stay in BC?
I want to expand North America wide, actually. So I want to expand down to the States as well.
So you guys are right off the coast, right? So more Seattle or more LA?
LA, most likely California. So that's kind of my plan, just because I have other connections down there too for developers that I know. I've been talking to people down there for different things. So I would like to expand down there. Maybe at some point, Toronto as well, like come out there too. But like I said, I know so many amazing friends. I have an agent out there. But it would be really cool to be out there too. But I definitely do want to expand down to California as well. So that is the plan in the future.
Very, very good. And I always, through our podcast, we never have any strict questions. I just have one question I ask every single person at the end. Okay. And if something were to happen to you today, in a few words, how would you want to be described by your closest friends or relatives or loved ones? Just a few words. How would you want to be described? And I know that you're young and you probably don't think about this, but how would you want to be described?
I don't think about this, but that's a really interesting question. I would want to be described as, when we needed her, she was there for us. She was inspiring, motivating. And whenever we needed, like I said, whenever we needed her, she was there. Whenever we needed her, she was there to pick us up, hold our hand, be there for us, and we could count on her.
I love that. You know, it's funny that I've asked this question to almost 100 people we've interviewed. And the other day, somebody threw it back at me. They're like, so what about you? And for some reason, I'm always asking, and I really never put a thought process into it. And my answer naturally was the exact same answer as you.
Really?
I want to be known as the person that if when you were in a situation that you needed somebody there, I was the one that was always there for you.
Yeah. That's
which
just
is really cool.
I feel that people have given me that feedback.
Yeah.
So they said, like, we can count on you. So that's why I like that.
No, and I appreciate that. That's very powerful, right? That's awesome.
Well, we
think that's awesome. That's awesome. I think I'm going to reach out to you. I do want to hear a little bit more about what's happening in BC because I'm really itching to play around with real estate. And it's funny because I was actually the last couple of weeks just looking at commercial. There's a couple new places. It's almost storefronts right next to the hospital. I'm like, okay, then they're all medically zoned. I'm like, let me look at these. But BC, it might give me a reason to go to BC, right?
Take a look over here too. A lot of great options.
This has been awesome. I greatly appreciate you.
Thank you for having
me. On our show notes, I'm going to put all the links, how to get hold of your social media, how to get your information, all that stuff like that. Anybody out? I mean, we have a really good following in Canada. So I'm going to put all the information, how to get a hold of you. If you're looking for a realtor or you're looking for a brokerage or anybody, this young lady in front of us would be more than glad to assist you and get you in the right direction. And any last things you want to say to our audience?
Thank you for watching. And anytime you have any questions, I'm working 24/7. So feel free to reach out.
This is awesome. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you so much.
That's a wrap for today. I want to thank our guest, Taraji, for taking time for her busy schedule to be a guest on the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. Tons of information passed along for the real estate market. If you guys are looking to invest in the BC market, Taraji is a great source. If you guys enjoy this podcast as much as I did, please spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family. We're trying to build something special here. Leave a review. 5 stars would be absolutely amazing. We loved spending time reading the reviews. Until next week, guys, keep moving forward.